Hello, and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Hole.
My name is Violet, and this is Therapy Hour.
Because everyone needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam peoples.
This week, we're talking about something that we touched on in our attachment styles episode, if you listened to that one, and that topic is self-diagnosing. In this episode, we're going to cover a few different aspects of this. So we want to cover the ways that self-diagnosing can be a negative thing, how it can actually be a positive thing for some people, and just generally how misusing mental health terms in our everyday language can be really harmful.
Yeah, I feel like as a psych major, I get very hypersensitive to certain terms being thrown around, especially when it's in major media or just newspapers or news articles. Obviously, TikTok is a huge platform for mental health right now, and we're definitely going to be talking about that. There's a part of me that feels like it's really great that people are having these conversations and talking about it, and it's, you know, good for destigmatization and obviously just normalizing these things. But also there's so much misunderstanding of these terms.
Yeah. And I think with the destigmatization of mental health issues such as depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, and so on, we've also seen a rise in particularly young people having more knowledge about these disorders. And then therefore, I think that results in the rates in which these young people are diagnosing themselves.
Absolutely. And I think that in some ways we can think about this destigmatization as being a good thing, obviously. I feel like there is so much benefit to people talking about mental health, especially young people. Mm-hmm. Young people going through a pandemic, young people just having to deal with like new and old obstacles. And I think it definitely allows people to feel much more comfortable about talking about their issues with other people. I feel like beforehand, or maybe in a time where it wasn't as normalized, people just weren't talking about these things.
Yeah, exactly. Because at the end of the day, these mental health issues are happening.
Right.
And quite commonly, frankly. And I'd much rather live in a world where that is a conversation that can be had and that people don't have to be afraid to talk about mental health issues that they're struggling with, rather than living in a world where we have to hide it or we feel as though we can't openly have those conversations with the people around us.
I feel like even I watch TV shows or movies from like a little while ago where it's caught that someone's using an antidepressant drug and everyone's like, oh my God. And then I feel like now someone tells me that they got onto SSRIs and I'm like, oh, like, how's that going? Is that good for you?
Right.
It's so much better.
Yeah, so much more normalized. And, you know, we'll get into the maybe unforeseen effects of that normalization and the ways in which that can be harmful. But I think overall, I do have a positive, obviously, attitude towards it. And I think within different cultures, that normalization might vary, but I would say from one generation to the next, we have been on a progressively positive track in terms of that destigmatization.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely positives to it. I do think, unfortunately, like we were saying earlier, that this kind of leads into this world where lots of people think they know a lot about mental health, especially diagnoses of disorders that even trained professionals aren't very good at diagnosing. Mm-hmm. So obviously that can lead into a few problematic things. I also think that one thing I will say is that the normalization of mental health issues sometimes causes issue in my head because I feel like there could be this like over-normalizing of them. Like, I think it's good that we talk about it and that we talk about having feelings and emotions and maybe not feeling the best in ourselves or maybe something that's becoming more and more problematic for us. But I saw this TikTok, I'm pretty sure, of this creator that I love, and they were talking about how when you think about like an actual debilitating mental health issue, because in some ways we've normalized it so much, people may not always get the like support that they could get. So mm-hmm. you have someone call into work saying that I've just had, you know, this incredibly anxious weekend and I have an anxiety disorder and I cannot regulate myself enough that I think I can come back to work or like do well at work. And it's not really, I don't think it's met yet at the occupational level with the same, I don't know. It's like people are like, I'm so sorry that you feel this way and I understand or I get it, but they're not going to give the tools just yet. Mm-hmm. And I feel like some of that may be because we're normalizing it too much.
Interesting. So you would say that maybe it's a thing of, oh, yeah, you have anxiety, you and everybody else.
Yes.
Kind of deal.
Yes.
Okay.
That's I think it's still not taken as seriously as it should be. Mm-hmm. And I think, unfortunately, normalizing it to the point of saying that everybody has anxiety, everybody has ADHD, everybody has some form of depression. Like, maybe so, but it does manifest much harsher in some people than it does others. And I don't think we've reached the understanding as a society, at least in North America, just yet.
Mm-hmm. And I think bring it into this occupational space, I think a lot of employers would probably need to see something like a proof of diagnosis to kind of accept a mental health issue like that, which is kind of an interesting thing to consider with the topic that we're covering this week.
Yeah.
And I think another interesting kind of thing to consider that we're talking about in this episode is the very reactionary backlash that has happened in result of this increase in self-diagnosing. And we see it a lot online.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into some of the parts that are actually quite valid in terms of this backlash. But I think it's important that we also talk about how self-diagnosing can actually be a really great and necessary thing for some people, because I think that is something that really gets overlooked in these conversations, because I am receiving a lot of messages online and on my For You page on TikTok where people are kind of making fun of this phenomenon of people self-diagnosing, which is why I think we both thought it'd be really important to talk about why that can actually be really helpful for some people.
Absolutely. I think also, yeah, I mean, the first step in trying to go get a professional diagnosis is to recognize something is going on. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's the same thing with health conditions, right? You start feeling off, you feel like you can't breathe all the time, so you're going to go into the doctor and ask why. You feel like you're getting knee pain, you're going to go and ask why.
Mm-hmm.
If you start recognizing mental health problems and start recognizing, oh, like I'm not able to do the things I used to be able to do, or I don't feel like I'm keeping up with everyone
right.
else, or something feels in my eyes wrong, that is in a way a little bit of self-diagnosing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that can lead you to go somewhere and get a, you know, professional diagnosis. And I think
right.
that's important.
No, I think that's a great point. I mean, how does anyone get a diagnosis, especially later on in their life, kind of past childhood, other than maybe reading up on, you know, some ADHD symptoms, for example, and thinking like, oh, maybe this is actually what's going on with me and maybe I want to investigate this more and look at ways of treating this and kind of helping myself get through my daily tasks, things like that. I mean, that is where you need to start. And like you said, that kind of is self-diagnosing.
Absolutely.
Obviously, then like the natural step would hopefully be getting the help you need, getting the diagnoses you need, and discovering if it is ADHD or if it's an anxiety disorder or something else, you know, because some of these symptoms can be a bit blurry as well. But yeah, that's a really great point.
And I also feel like it goes without saying when we talk about mental health and getting a diagnosis that it is very difficult to get these diagnoses. We live in a world where mental health is not prioritized. And even in a place like Canada, where we do have forms of universal healthcare, one, not everyone has equal access to that type of healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I don't have insurance for all mental health like diagnosis processes. Like, I feel like I've had undiagnosed ADHD and I've recognized that for the past few years. And there's still so many obstacles that you have to jump through to go and even get that diagnosis. And on top of that, a lot of that solution is getting medication. And some people simply can't afford that. So that also makes a lot of sense why people are kind of just sitting in their rooms and being like, okay, well, I'm going to read about this. And this person on TikTok is saying that this is signs of anxiety. So yeah, I probably have it.
Right. And I think kind of where the line gets crossed is not finding issues in your day-to-day life, but then coming across some kind of media that's telling you that these things that you do, which we'll get into some kind of comical examples of this a little bit later on in the episode, but just unprompted coming across it and then self-diagnosing yourself when you hadn't recognized that anything was going on beforehand. So we'll get more into that. But before we do all of that, we have our little song segment. The song is kind of related.
It's as related as it's as related as it's going to get.
Yeah. So it's Why Do I Cry by Margot Gurian. And basically, we chose this song because she's pondering why she's crying, which...
That could be a self-diagnosis.
That could be the step you take before self-diagnosing. And when we come back, we'll be looking into what constitutes a disorder and why we sometimes misunderstand the meaning of certain mental health language.
Why do I cry on a Sunday morning after Saturday night? Was such a wonderful night. I should be glad that I could spend one night a week with you. Why do I cry? So sad to only spend one night a week with you. One night a week to laugh and to love and to speak. That isn't enough for the way that I suffer and grow. 6 days before, why do I cry? Sunday morning after Saturday night was such a wonderful night. I should be glad that I could spend one night away with you.
Has the gloom of winter got you feeling down? What about the dreaded sinking sensation when faced with piles of to-do lists? Chase away the blues this month by revisiting the Victory Square Block Party in Discorder Magazine's Real Life Action column. Pick up a copy at Big Joy Barber and gather your dancing shoes for a luscious journey into Primps Daytona. Or drop by Far Out Coffee and reflect on the nature of vulnerability with Franz the Poet. Dive into the depths of theater with Rhiannon Collette. Learn about community spaces that heal with Day Shields, and explore the core of connection with Brendan Post's Heavy Petting, which premiered at the 2021 Vancouver International Film Festival. Before you go, come chat with our programming manager Jasper Sloan Yip for tips on how to make damn good radio from home. Through rain or shine, Discorder Magazine is here for you. Forever local and forever free.
Everybody Is In provides relief to the COVID-19 crisis by delivering goods and services to residents of the downtown East Side. And we need donations. Right now, we are looking for protective personal equipment, sanitation supplies, non-perishable food, and hygiene items. you can email everybodyisin2020donations@gmail.com to make a donation, or go to dtesresponse.ca for more information. Everybody Is In is funded by Downtown Eastside Response through diversity, arts, music, and entertainment.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We've now reached the research portion of our show.
So before we left, we talked a little bit about self-diagnosing and how that can be a result of not having access to getting a proper diagnosis. And I'm interested to hear then, when we're talking about self-diagnosing, kind of what we're self-diagnosing. So what actually constitutes as a disorder?
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing to understand here, because when you self-diagnose, I think a lot of people are overlooking what an actual disorder is. So from what I've understood and from what I've learned in courses and doing this research, a personality disorder is only deemed a disorder when it is maladaptive, meaning that you are not adjusting to your environment adequately enough, and it causes personal distress and affects you almost every single day.
Wow.
And I feel like a lot of people will take certain characteristics of their life and say, or like when they watch a TikTok and say, oh, I do this and I do that, so that must mean I have insert mental health issue. But the thing is, when you go and get a diagnosis, and I'm not saying that the psychiatric / mental health diagnosis world is perfect, but what those doctors are trying to do is figure out, is this long lasting? Is this happening to you all the time? And is it really disrupting your every single day?
Okay, so that's kind of what a professional would need to be seeing to give you that diagnosis.
Yeah.
And then what are some factors that might limit people in getting a diagnosis? I know we talked about the fact that there are some things that can prevent people from getting a diagnosis, but can you dive a little bit deeper into what those things are?
Well, I think that one, when we think about getting a diagnosis, we have to think about money, we have to think about time, and we have to think about access of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So going back to this idea of destigmatizing mental health, a great reason to do it is that you're giving people more access to knowledge about different mental health disorders. But obviously money and time are not really something that, I mean, we could prevent it in some aspects. But at this point right now, that's a huge reason why I think so many people are not able to get their diagnoses. The other thing that I was going to bring up is that being a part of a marginalized group really, really affects your ability to get a diagnosis.
Right.
One, just going to a health professional, marginalized people, specifically people of color, and BIPOC people in general are a lot of the times not believed by doctors.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors themselves aren't trained in like different types of people's cultures and like recognizing differences in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Just not being taken seriously, not having their communities being open / educated about mental health, having any communities really.
Like
it doesn't have to be towards marginalized groups. But I think again, the money, the time, and the access is always in like all walks of life going to affect marginalized groups.
Yeah. And this is a bit different because this is more as it pertains to physical health, but there was a lot of issues in the medical world that were exposed during the pandemic of textbooks that were being taught to current medical students about how patients of different races will be reacting. And I would go as far to say that probably mental health professionals are receiving somewhat similar training.
Absolutely.
And that's just so inappropriate.
And like, even if it's not in their, you know, explicit training, you just see how like society trains people to be racist and be discriminatory. And that's a huge, huge issue that like really honestly does not get talked about enough, I think, in terms of the mental health world. I want to make sure that our listeners aren't naive to that. And I also want to ensure that Violet and I are not naive to that. So as much as, you know, I do preach, you know, going and getting, trying to get a diagnosis, not diagnosing yourself, it also is not that simple. The mental health world, medical world, is not an easy playing field. And it's definitely not a level playing field.
Right. And at the end of the day, if you can't get that diagnosis, if your doctor's not believing you, if you have some of these limiting factors, and all you can do is self-diagnose, then absolutely. I mean, if that's going to help you like heal and come to a better understanding of yourself and how to treat some of the problems and issues going on in your life, then of course, I mean, why would you not do that at that point?
Yeah. And I also think it's an important thing to think about how different cultures treat mental health, especially immigrant families in North America, because I feel like there's a huge knowledge gap between me and like the older people of my family, or just the kids my age versus the parents of those kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm from an Iranian family that has worked very hard their entire lives, but I think that has come at the cost of like not being able to conceptualize mental health exists. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's impossible to get around to that idea. I've definitely seen friends of mine that are also first gen like citizens, and they've gotten their parents around to it, but that's a whole other level of it. So I just think there's so many reasons why. And it's not a new thing to self-diagnose. We've had WebMD forever. Mm. We've had WikiHow. I think I've definitely seen things on WikiHow. It's like, how to stop having anxiety. Mm-hmm. I just think that there's now so much more access. There's so many more people that can access the internet. And it can be really helpful, I think, when I was a younger kid to just, like, learn what anxiety attacks were.
Yeah.
Because, you know, older generations may not always understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to speak to that point of the knowledge gap that can happen between generations, and particularly in particular cultures where there may not be that language, or maybe there's a bit more shame and taboo, that can be really difficult, especially as a young person with your caretaker. While some parents might be identifying something in the child and then seeking out a diagnosis for them, other parents aren't doing that.
Yeah.
Or even when you get into, let's say, high school, you have more of a vocabulary for this. If there's any kind of shame coming from the guardians and the caretakers, then that's right there a roadblock in getting that diagnosis. And without being an independent legal adult, it's really limiting. I mean, there's nothing really more that you can do.
Absolutely not. I think that there have definitely been experiences that I've had and other kids my age that grew up with parents may not even have the knowledge or the access to that. They just weren't thinking about it. And really, I don't want to fully say it's not their fault, but there is a part of them that can't really be blamed, and it makes a lot of sense. And also, another thing I wanted to add on top of this, because this was a big thing when I was thinking about this research portion, was that we define mental health issues almost solely on like the global north, and like specifically like the Western world.
Yeah.
And those are the standards we go by. Obviously, the world has been globalizing for decades. There are people from different cultures coming in and out of the Western world. And we do not have enough research pertaining to different cultures and how mental health may manifest in them. Mm-hmm. I've talked so much in my classes before of like how we used to have mostly male psychologists. And so we would have disorders like female hysteria.
Right.
But then once you bring in female psychologists, obviously that opens up the door to being like, this isn't mm-hmm. a disorder. But that's the same thing when it comes to having different cultures. Depression, anxiety, different types of like bipolar or even like schizophrenia, all those types of disorders, those can manifest differently because it's a personality mm-hmm. disorder, and personality is rooted in the culture that you live in.
And also the attitudes towards them can be vastly different as well.
Absolutely.
I think mental health issues have tended to take on a really negative connotation in the Western world and Western culture. And I know in some indigenous cultures and just some other cultures worldwide, they actually are viewed in a much brighter light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of on the side of things of not being able to get a diagnosis when you need one.
Right.
On the other side of what we're talking about today is what we kind of touched on earlier of people identifying with some of the media that they're seeing online about certain characteristics of different mental health disorders. So is it possible to have some characteristics of a mental illness without actually having that mental illness?
Absolutely. I think that people forget that humans, as much as we want to all be different, we are not. We exhibit right. very similar behavior. And that is a reason why mental health is so difficult to diagnose sometimes. But it's so frustrating sometimes to hear the way people talk about certain disorders. Like, I've heard people talk about symptoms of ADHD. Like, I remember someone saying that if you shake your leg a lot, that's a symptom of ADHD. And I think that I want to have this distinction at this part of the show that there are characteristics that lots of people with a certain disorder can have.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that 75% of people with ADHD shake their legs when they're sitting down in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
That statistic can be true. You can also shake your leg a lot mm-hmm. and not have ADHD.
Right, exactly.
I think that people take statistics so much from psychological research and misinterpret them because mm-hmm. psychology is almost never trying to say, well, if they're trying to put temporal precedence, which is saying this thing causes this, they have to do like 20 tests yeah. to figure that out. So even the idea, like this is something that I talk about a lot, that one of the misconceptions about depression is that it's a chemical imbalance in your brain. But lots of people with depression have a chemical imbalance in the brain, but it doesn't mean that that chemical imbalance caused the depression. It could have been that the depression caused the chemical imbalance.
Mm-hmm. Correlation more than causation kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's correlation / causation, and it's also a huge thing is temporal precedence. It's like what came first. So like the leg shaking thing is like your ADHD may cause you to shake your leg, but you could also be shaking your leg for other reasons. It's the same thing with crying. It's like you can cry because you just got broken up with. You can also cry because you were just like watching a sad movie.
Or like you can be crying because you got broken up with, but just because you're crying doesn't mean you just got broken
yes,
up with.
That is a perfect
yeah,
way to say it.
Right.
Like there's just so many factors that I think people overlook, and it's difficult because I do understand how that concept can be a bit hard to grasp sometimes. But one of my favorite things that people love to talk about constantly is narcissism, because you can have a narcissistic personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is a disorder. It's not very common because usually narcissists aren't going to go and get diagnosed. But I like talking about narcissism because it kind of exemplifies this idea that a lot of things are on a scale. So a lot of people will have narcissistic tendencies. Like I think narcissistic tendencies are like being extroverted, bragging, talking down to people. Narcissistic tendencies can also be introverted, neurotic, and being concerned with how people perceive you. Those are just two separate types, but you literally have introverted and extroverted as
right.
like the same thing.
Interesting.
And the only reason I bring that up is because I follow this TikTok psychologist. She talks a lot about how people were using the term narcissist a lot to just talk about people they didn't like. And obviously, like with narcissism, there's this idea of having kind of like a bolstered sense of self. But you can have that and not have a disorder.
Right.
And I think people used it as like, I can coin this person. Like, you are a narcissist.
Right.
And that could be fine in layman's terms. But the issue that comes across so much is like, these are actual psychological terms.
Yeah. And I think it belittles when people are sharing their experience with someone who actually has a narcissistic personality disorder and they know that to be true. But then we've oversaturated this term of calling people narcissists when perhaps they don't actually have that disorder.
Yeah. And it's just, I think it's a very odd, like, coining someone a negative term is not a bad thing. using medical terms or like disordered terms is just odd to me. Mm-hmm. And it feels very weird.
Yeah, and I try really hard not to use this kind of language in my own day-to-day speech because I want to use language that aligns with my morals, and I believe that I have, and I think most people have a big enough vocabulary to use the words that they actually mean. And I kind of go by the philosophy of say what you mean and mean what you say. So being critical about the words that we're using and not using mental health terms out of turn.
Right.
So like not using the words to describe a disorder when that person, to your knowledge, has not been diagnosed with that disorder. And the same thing for yourself and the language that you're using about yourself as well.
Yeah, it's baffling to me sometimes because I guess in some ways, like, yes, it can affect people who actually have these disorders, but like, ultimately, it's just wrong. Like, mm-hmm. one of my least favorite things, which I honestly thought was obsolete, and then funnily enough, someone used it the other day, was saying, like, oh, I have such bad OCD, because they literally wanted to, like, clean the table in front of them. And I was like, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Because that's not what OCD is. And it's not, I think that the issue for me, like, yes, it's really bad that we're misrepresenting what these disorders are and we're completely overlooking the way that it affects people's lives. It's also just not true. It's just not what OCD is.
Yeah. And I think that it makes light of an issue that you may not realize that someone who is with you when you're saying a quirky little joke like that might actually struggle with, like, oh, I'm so depressed, I'm so OCD. You know, someone might have received that diagnosis and that's something that they're going through and you don't even realize, and you're using that term. And to me, that's just really unacceptable, because I remember having these kinds of comments thrown out for literally as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder if that's a reflection of the fact that people really don't understand what these mental health terms mean. And so they don't understand what someone with OCD may struggle with, and they genuinely do think it's having the urge to clean the table in front of them.
I think it must be. I think that because obviously, like, OCD is obsessive compulsive disorder. It usually manifests in a way that's honestly so debilitating, because lots of people just need, it's like needing to turn the knob 3 times before you leave the door, because you literally think that you will die if you don't do it that way. It can manifest to be like extremely, like even more debilitating than maybe a more classical way that it manifests in someone. I don't really know how it translated to, I need things to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that you can just say, oh, I'm such a neat freak.
Mm.
Like, I feel like
I feel like that's derogatory.
Is it?
I don't know. It just sounds derogatory to me.
What would it be derogatory?
I don't know.
Maybe it is.
I'm a neat freak. Like, I don't know. That just sounds
mean. Oh, like in a sexual way?
No. I don't know. I feel like if you call yourself neat freak, that's one thing. But if you call someone else like, oh, she's such a neat freak, like, I don't know. It just feels hateful.
Well, maybe you're trying to be hateful.
Yeah,
I'd accept someone saying she's such a neat freak over she's so OCD.
Yes, this is true.
But I think that, like, OCD is one thing. Also, I've always heard this thing of like, ugh, I'm so bipolar.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. Ugh. When we talk about these types of situations, like using these terms in front of people, I honestly like don't always think about like, oh, who in this room would have it, which maybe I should start doing that a little bit more, even though I'm not the one using these terms out of turn. But what I'm more thinking is just like, you don't have any idea what this means. And it's just kind of in my end of like studying this stuff, which may make me feel a bit nerdy, it's just like you haven't taken the time to even like think about what this word means or like what someone with this disorder struggles with.
Yeah. And oftentimes I feel like, you know, the bipolar disorder is a really good example of this, I would say, where you're using the term, but you're taking it out of almost the mental health context, and then you're diminishing it to the most basic principle of what it is. So when you're saying something like, oh, that person's so bipolar, like, oh, he's so bipolar, what you're saying is, wow, he really has mood swings and switches up his emotions a lot. Like, that's what you're trying to communicate, or that's what someone is trying to communicate in that case. So say that.
Yeah.
Because in this scenario, this person has not been diagnosed with bipolar. And if they had, also, please don't use that.
Please literally don't do that.
Yeah. So it's really interesting that we have taken these mental health terms into kind of our everyday language. Again, not you and I.
Right.
But I think a lot of people listening could probably think of times when they've heard people say this, or perhaps they've even said it themselves. And it's become almost commonplace.
Yeah. I think it's getting a little bit better, for sure. I think that people are becoming a little bit more understanding, or just like cognizant of the fact that these are not terms to be using.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the normalizing part helps a little bit. But yeah, I think that people just didn't take mental health seriously for a very long time. And that's honestly why people used to, and people continue to use these terms kind of just out of turn.
Right. We're going to take another quick little break. We hope that you enjoyed our little research segment. We've got lots more good stuff coming for you after these ads. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the phenomenon of self-diagnosis that's happening on TikTok today. Ta-ta!
Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey. Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again. I could be you.
Start off your new year with a new skill. This spring, Emily Carr University's Continuing Studies is proud to offer courses and workshops online and in person. Choose from over 100 courses, from weekend workshops designed for beginners to skills-focused certificate programs. Whether you're seeking an artistic outlet or looking to add to your professional skill toolkit, Emily Carr has you covered. From painting to print media, industrial design to web design, there's something for everyone. Find your fit at ecuad.ca/cs. Register now and commit to your creative future.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. So I have kind of a fun little segment for you this episode.
So excited.
I discovered this hashtag on TikTok called #actuallyautistic.
Okay.
Which, have you seen it?
I've heard of it. Like, I've seen it a little bit, but mm-hmm. I didn't click on it. I got scared.
So, fair. So, it was a very fascinating hashtag to me because, from my understanding, it was being used by autistic folks trying to distinguish themselves from other folks who are identifying as autistic because of the rise in people who are self-identifying as autistic. So I thought that that was a very, very interesting reactionary phenomenon, which I believe is linked to the rise in people self-diagnosing,
yes,
particularly in autism. I think ADHD is very similar, at least from, you know, the media that I'm consuming online.
Yes. I also, as like a quick little note to this TikTok thing before you do your fun activity, I think that another thing that happens a lot on TikTok too is they conflate ADHD symptoms and autistic symptoms all the time,
mm-hmm,
or just characteristics, but it gets overlooked a lot that there are lots of people with autism that also exhibit ADHD like characteristics,
mm-hmm,
But then there was this weird thing on TikTok happening that was like, if you have ADHD, you're most likely autistic. And every psychologist was like, no, 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 no. Who said that?
Oh, my God. What a stressful time to be a psychologist. Literally. Yeah. So I clicked on the hashtag actually autistic because yes. I was very curious what it had. And I stumbled upon this sound. So if you, the folks listening, don't have TikTok, the way that it works is there can be videos that are kind of clumped together because they all use the same music or the same sound. And so that's what I clicked on. I found this collection of videos. And the sound was used for people to share some of the things that they did, which they either knew or believed to be linked to specifically autism. There was a little bit of ADHD mixed in there as well, but a lot of autism. And so the sound goes, I'm so good at masking, which is kind of this idea of behaving as if you're neurotypical
yeah.
in order to cover up any form of neurodivergence around other neurotypical people. And I've heard a lot of neurodivergent people, especially autistic folks, talking about how that can be a very exhausting process for yeah. them. So the sound goes, I'm so good at masking. Nobody would know I'm autistic if I didn't say anything. And then it cuts to various different things that they do that they actually aren't very, quote unquote, good at masking because they're doing this in their day-to-day life. And it exhibits the fact that they're autistic.
I've seen this sound.
Essentially,
I know yeah. what you're talking about now.
So I thought it'd be interesting for me to read out some of the things that these people have said. And I would like to make a disclaimer that I'm not saying that I'm reading these out and doubting that the people making these videos are autistic. The point in doing this is to show the dangers of making a video like this to a broader audience.
Yes.
And then therefore people taking that video and self-diagnosing themselves purely based on this one video. These can be traits that can be linked to characteristics of autism, but like we discussed earlier in this episode, just because you saw one video and you had no prior inkling that maybe you had autism or something like that, it is quite a big leap just because you relate to these videos that you actually have autism.
Yes.
So, disclaimer in place.
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, so the first three are from the same video.
Okay.
So, again, the sound goes, I'm so good at masking, nobody would know I'm autistic if I didn't say anything. And then she says, me when I try and go to sleep. One, covering your face with the comforter, but leaving a hole to breathe when falling asleep. Two, rubbing your feet together when trying to fall asleep. And okay. Three, needing to take any crumbs off your bed before being able to fall asleep.
Okay. See, this is the thing is like, neither of us are autistic, and I'm not here to claim that I have experienced autism and that these are not things that people who are autistic experience.
Mm-hmm.
But there needs to be a little bit of thought before
posting
things on the internet, because there's nothing, obviously there's nothing wrong with being autistic. There's nothing wrong with going and getting a late diagnosis if that is something that is happening. It's just really unfortunate that it's coming from untrained social media people.
Right.
And is not being given the thought of this may be something that I do and I'm autistic and these are things that I experience. These are also things that people who are neurotypical may also do,
mm-hmm.
not because they're autistic.
Right, exactly.
It just feels really like, first of all, I was covering the face with the comforter. You literally sleep fully under your comforter.
Yes, I do.
Rubbing your feet together when you fall asleep, I definitely do
that. I do that as well.
And needing to take any crumbs off the bed before being able to fall asleep. I actually don't do that because I'm a hot girl with crumbs in her bed. However, it makes a lot of sense yeah. why you would do that.
Right. So by her standards, maybe we have autism. Like, it's just not enough in the video to self-diagnose. And what I found was I looked through the comments because this was the top video on
right.
the sound. And the comments, the top comments were full of people saying, wait, I do all of these things. Oh my God. Maybe I'm autistic. And so the creator of the video actually had to make a pinned comment clarifying that if you related to this video, it didn't automatically mean that you're autistic. And she said not to diagnose yourself solely based off of her video.
Right.
But kind of the damage has been done. I mean, it's fine to post a comment like that, but I think that on a platform like TikTok, it's reaching so many people, and a lot of times people are watching it, consuming it, taking something away from it, and not necessarily taking the time to look through the comments, look at the pinned comment, go to the person's page, you know, just not doing a more in-depth exploration on that. And so I personally think that that could be kind of damaging.
Also, I mean, at the end of the day, no matter what way you want to cut it, TikTok is filled with young kids. It just simply is. There's no way to stop it. And it really does suck that the way social media and specifically TikTok has manifested, there's like obviously the quote unquote kid side of TikTok and the adult side. But at the end of the day, you can find yourself on whatever side that you find yourself on. I think it reminds me a lot of like this thing that was happening. It happened a lot on Tumblr as well, with like people talking about like, this is what I used to do when I had an eating disorder. It's like, no, you're giving people ideas. And in, not to say that you're going to give someone autism by doing this, but it's the same idea of like, you are putting something on the internet, and I know that you may find it funny. I know that you may be just making a joke and like laughing within your own community, and that should be something you can do. It's just like when you have access to millions and millions of people, spreading this kind of information is really, really, you have to think about it. You have to. There's no other way around it. And I don't know how old this girl was, but if she was younger, I would understand maybe like not thinking about it like off the bat. But if you're an older person, and that's where I see a lot of these like psychological self-diagnosing TikToks is from older people. It's like you are influencing people to think of themselves as having something that they need to go and find out for themselves. I'm sorry. It cannot be from your TikTok.
Absolutely. And I will say there were some videos that I could definitely see being, you know, funny and autistic and non-autistic people could laugh at and find a bit of camaraderie, things about stimming, which is very, you know, stimulating yourself as an autistic person, things like that. It's like, okay, cool, I get it. But I want to read you off a few more that I found. That was just from one video, but okay. I'll just kind of rapid fire them at you. So a few more that I saw under the sound were rocking back and forth when standing, getting upset when someone enters the kitchen when you're in there, coming off as aggressive or upset in messages to other people, randomly getting the shivers or chills.
I'm gonna die.
And remembering something awkward you said a while ago and cringing.
Okay. I'm so glad you brought up the shivering thing, because I want to talk about it.
Okay.
Shivering? They use this thing for also having ADHD and having undiagnosed anxiety disorders. They've also done this on TikTok before. And I will say, I have been in a literal neuroscience class before where he has talked about why people randomly shiver. And it's literally because your brain will just send out like a rapid neuron. It happens to everyone. Yes, maybe with the brain chemistry of someone who is autistic, someone who has ADHD, someone who has an anxiety disorder, maybe those brain firings happen a bit more frequently. But the shivering thing upsets me so much, because this happens to almost everyone. Almost everyone can be sitting somewhere and not feel cold and get a random shiver. It can happen more frequently in people with certain disorders, maybe. I actually don't even know the statistics on that. I actually tried to find stuff on during my research portion about it because I wanted to prove it wrong so bad.
Yeah.
But I do remember in a class where he, the professor explained to us what that is. And it's just a random neuron firing. It's just because your brain is sending out so many neurons and messages throughout its daily course that sometimes they get misfired and you shiver. It's also why sometimes you'll like feel like you're falling when you are falling asleep and then you'll jolt awake.
Okay.
Or it's like why you jerk.
Right.
Like your thing. Like that's a, that's also like a great example of like, people will have like some random jerk moments, and that can also be something that happens more frequently with someone who is autistic. Those things do not align with one another. If you don't have the educational background to very much highlight the fact that these characteristics or these symptoms are just in like a cohort of people who are autistic and why it may be like more common for those people, you cannot make those claims. You cannot make those claims.
And again, like, it's not to invalidate the fact that some autistic folks may do things that non-autistic folks also do, but they do it as a part of them being autistic. Like, this is valid and real. But it's tricky on the internet when people, and especially young people, are on there and they're very impressionable.
Right.
And I think, again, you know, I hope that everyone who is autistic and is seeking out a diagnosis is able to get that. That's something I would wish for anyone. But I think that it, again, comes up with the issue that we talked about earlier of it sort of minimizes what autistic people are going through when someone thinks that they're autistic because they rock back and forth when they're standing because of one video that they saw.
And the thing is, it really is, because these tropes continue on for so long, and it happens a lot. I see it so often with like anxiety. It's, oh, I've seen so many people that are like, I didn't know that this was a symptom of an anxiety disorder. It's like these are just things that people are doing. I don't actually understand why you're saying, I don't understand why you're saying these things. Like, they just, it just is very bothersome. And I know that the internet is the internet, and we are sitting here and just, we are critiquing obviously something we engage in heavily.
Yeah.
But I think that's important. And I think that I really hope that a lot of people can come to terms with that, because I know if I was like 13 or 14, I would have gone to my mother and said that I have this, 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 and this already. And again, there is nothing wrong with having those disorders. And I hope anyone the best to be going and getting diagnosed and having success in the like medical and mental health field. We cannot be looking at the internet for those solutions. It simply could, it just can't happen that way. I think also with TikTok, I wanted to add in, because one of the big reasons I wanted to have this episode is because there has been this incredible trend on TikTok recently about being an empath, and I want to talk about it a little bit, because I know it's not self-diagnosing, but I do love it so much. I also hate it, but it's exemplifying a lot of these similar traits, but just putting it, I guess, in a positive way, because I guess people want to be empaths. One thing I want to say, empath is not a real thing.
Right.
It is a layman's term for someone who has
high amounts of empathy, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. And lots of people have empathy. I'd go as far to say a majority of people have empathy.
Yeah.
But it's been so interesting to see some of the things that TikTok says about people who are empaths. And they're like, you walk into a room where like, or no, it's like you walk in and someone's yelling at someone else, and you feel so much distress. It's like, yeah.
Well, aren't those videos kind of being made as jokes to make fun of?
No.
Oh.
There are people, there's real, I went on the empath tag on TikTok, and it is filled with people who are actually talking about this, like, are actually being like this, which is, it's funny because there is some really cool like psychological research about certain types of empathy. Like, you can make everybody in a room think about very upsetting thoughts and have someone walk in, and that person will rate their feeling when they walk into that room lower than if they walk into a room of people either thinking whatever they want or thinking positive thoughts. That's a real study, and it's very cool, and I've done it in my classes before, and we proved it right. Because that is what humans can do very well.
Right.
It's just very funny to see this, like, self-diagnosing thing manifesting into this, like, definition of, like, a person, like, an empath. And I think it's just so funny to watch the way that TikTok works around, like, personality at this time, at this day and age.
I think you've called me an empath before on this show.
Yes, I did call you an empath on the show, and I will stand by.
Were you making fun of me?
I think that it's fine to say, to use the term empath in ways of, like, you just know someone is very empathetic and, like, have felt their empathy before. It's just very funny the way it's being coined as, like, it's not a disorder, I guess. I think it's just people think that it's I don't know. I couldn't tell you what people think it is.
Yeah, it is kind of spoken about on the internet as something that some people have and other people don't, or kind of this defining characteristic about someone, when it's kind of just like a nonsense term in a way.
I think it's just a lot of TikTok has just been spreading lots of misinformation. It's nothing new. The internet does that. I did see something when I was just on TikTok last night. I saw something about the psychology of reading someone's mind, and if someone looks right, they are constructing a thought, and if they look left,
they are, what was the thing?
Oh, it's they look left to remember something, and they look right if they're constructing a thought, and that's how you can read their mind. It's not true. People don't, like, look certain ways when their brain is, your brain doesn't know, like, they know left and right to, like, control your arms. It doesn't, like, do things to correlate with how your brain works. That's weird, like, left brain, right brain stuff. And it's very frustrating to be on TikTok sometimes. And I did write her name down. There's a great TikTok psychologist named Dr. Ina who goes through all the, like, psychology myths. And if you're looking for, like, good, valid, and accurate information, she's a great person
to go
to.
How do you spell that?
I-N-N-A.
Okay, cool.
She's very cool.
Yeah. Do you ever comment on those videos when they come up on your For You page and be like, actually?
No. Yeah. I would feel like an a-hole.
No, you wouldn't be an a-hole. You're spreading the word, the truth.
The word of truth. The word of the psychological gods. I think that the main thing to remember in these instances, and I hope the people that are listening to this have most of an idea not to believe everything they read on the internet, but maybe sometimes it's a good reminder every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, that actually leads us perfectly into our homework for this week, which is not to jump to conclusions based on a singular TikTok video made by someone who isn't a professional. That goes for Instagram Reels too, for that matter. You know what? While we're
You're not safe. And also, don't trust WebMD with everything. I've definitely thought that I was dying because WebMD told me to.
That's right.
All right. This has been your free therapy session for this week. We're your hosts. I'm Ale.
I'm Violet. And this is Therapy Hour, because everybody needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Be sure to tune in 2 weeks, because we are going to have a very special, very exclusive Fun Drive episode on online dating.
Yeah, the theme of Fun Drive this year, I think we're allowed to say it, is plenty of fish and online dating. So obviously, we had to do an episode on online dating. It's going to get fun. It's going to get spicy.
Maybe we'll even read some of our online dating bios / messages.
Oh, that's a really fun idea. We might just have to keep up to date with all of our little shenanigans and see some behind the scenes. You can follow us on Instagram at Therapy Hour Pod. And you can also listen to our episodes on Spotify and Pocket Cast now.
Oh, my God.
And while you're there, why don't you give us a little rating?
Please give us a rating.
We would love that.
You so much. We would love you so much now, but we would love you even more.
Lots of love to give. We will see you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.